It's my fault for a change. I hear that a lot at my house, by the way, so I'm used to it. One thing I did forget to mention for our guests, on your way out, stop by our information desk there, and they will. There's a little gift card there for you. You can have that to get some coffee, just another way of our saying thank you. And we are looking forward to Easter next week, and then also our spring program. We have 6 special days coming up, Easter being one of them, and we're going to have a great, great time, and we'll let you know a little bit more about that. And I want to mention today is our Filipino ministry's 22nd anniversary. And so let's give them a hand. I'm sorry. Give us a hand. I'm the Filipino teacher, so we're having a great time in there. And so we're so grateful for them. You say, Pastor, last week, didn't we read Genesis chapter number 3? Yes, we did. The later verses. And actually, I will say this. The message this week was supposed to be last week's message. And as I was studying this passage, and I had some introductory thoughts, that introductory kind of got out of control and became last week's message. And so now we're to this week's message, which was supposed to be last week's message. And if you're not confused by now, I don't think I can get you there. But, you know, two people can look at the same thing, and some can see it from a positive light, and others can see it from a negative light. There's an old story Pastor Esposito used to tell about a company. They sent a shoe salesman overseas to an undeveloped country where there's a bunch of tribesmen and they live in huts and so forth. And they're like, go over there and try to sell some shoes. So the guy went over there and after a while he sent back a communication to his company and said, you know what? This is a total waste of time. This is not going to work. None of these people wear shoes. They don't need shoes. And he came home. So the company thought, well, let's try one more guy. So they sent another guy over. After a couple weeks, the guy sent back to the company and said, I need you to send me some more shoes. None of these people wear shoes. They all need them. Now, that's most people, right? We either look at things from a negative standpoint or we're going to look at it from a positive standpoint. Now, a couple weeks ago, we preached about the spies, and we mentioned the same thing. 12 of the spies went in to spy the land of Canaan. How many of them were bad? 10. How many of them were good? They all saw the same thing. But 10 of them saw it from a negative light. These people are huge. The battles are going to be hard. There's no way we're going to get this. Whereas the other two said, it's exactly like God said. He said he'd give us the victory. Let's go. I have found that when somebody has an overly negative attitude towards something, they usually develop that over a course of time. And so I want us to kind of see that as we kind of look at part 2 from last week's message. We looked at last Sunday, the end of the story, this story, which was the first sin. And we saw the consequences of their choice. Now, it started with Eve and it ended up with Adam, and they both got in trouble. If you'll go back a couple of, probably in your Bible, one page, may not even be one page, to Genesis chapter number 2, verse 15, God gave them one command. And the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. What did he say? He said, you can eat any tree you want, except for one. That's it. Now we know what happened. The devil came, confused Eve, and she was deceived, and she ate of the tree. And of course, she gives it to her husband, and he eats as well. She found out that that thing that she thought would be good for her, that would be best for her, eating of the one tree, she wasn't supposed to, ended up being the worst thing for her. And as we looked at it last week, they became disconnected to God. And as I mentioned, and it's still true, the worst thing about sin in our life, when we start to get away from God, isn't all the consequences, although those are bad. It's the fact that it ruins our relationship with God. If we just keep that right, and we can stay close to Him, everything else will be okay. So we looked at the chaos in their lives last time. But this morning I want us to see, how did they get to that place? How is it that they got to the place where they chose to disobey God? I mean, we're talking about one rule. Have any of you ever seen a rule book with one rule? There's like dozens and some of them hundreds of pages of things you got to remember to do or not do. One, don't eat the one tree. They couldn't do it. What happened? How did they get there? Last week we saw the fallout of their choice. Today we're going to see what formulated their choice. Understand this, because this is a fallacy in our society today. They lived in a perfect place. So often we blame what's going on our circumstances and what's around us and all of that. And we think that if we could change our environment, people would stop doing wrong. They lived in a perfect environment. Now, we should strive to make our situation better, but there's no guarantee that that would keep us from doing wrong. They didn't have sin problems. They had never sinned before. There was no one around there, some sinful individuals, their peers. They didn't have people problems. It was just the two of them. They had a great relationship. They didn't have to worry about where they were getting their next meal from. They were taken care of. There was no environmental problems. There was no bad society, this, that, all this stuff hanging. There was none of that. There was no spiritual problems. God spoke to them and came and spoke to them directly. There were no government problems. They didn't pay taxes, okay, and all that stuff. There was no government on their back doing this and that, as some of the governments around the world are. And they had no family problems. And yet, with everything around them being perfect, it would be what everybody today would strive for. Wouldn't it be? I want the best marriage, the best family, a government that doesn't cause issues. Everything I need to be taken care of. All these things. They had it. And yet, they still fell spiritually. They still sinned. They could not keep that one law, that one commandment. And they suffered the consequences. You know, isn't that how we are? No matter how good God is to us spiritually, we can still develop a negative attitude towards the things of God. Have you ever noticed that? I've been doing this a long time. And people can take all the things that God gives us and the blessings and spirituality and the privileges of being a child of God, and they can get a negative attitude toward the things of God. People do it all the time. Go to social media and check it out. I don't suggest that. A slam Christianity. They blame everybody for it. By the way, everybody's a victim. Now, I'd like someone just to be honest one time. Just say, you know why I quit serving God? Because I just chose to. We have to find something to justify it. But the sad thing about it is this. When we developed a negative attitude towards the things of God and it starts to drive us away from God, the person who suffers is the person with the bad attitude.
Yep. Amen.
We can blame everybody else. We can find a reason to step away, but the only person that really gets hurt is the one who steps back.
Yep.
It's very sad, because we buy into this lie of Satan that we are being hurt and losing out by obedience to God. By the way, you never lose out by being obedient to God. In fact, that's the way to blessing. That's the way to everything. I read that statement. I mention it often, but the fastest line to getting everything you want in life, the right things, joy and fulfillment and all those things, is obedience to God. And yet Satan is such a good salesman. Satan will sell it to us that that's restricting us. It's keeping us from it, and it's just a lie. And when we buy into it, we develop a negative attitude towards everything that is holy and right. And that drives us to have a positive attitude towards everything that's unholy and unright. Perspective. How did that happen? How did it happen to Eve and eventually Adam, who had everything, nothing, they had nothing to complain about, and yet they had this negative mentality? How do we do it? Well, it starts with our focus. So let me give you a couple things that she focused on, and eventually Adam, that caused them to develop this negative spiritual attitude. Number one, there was a focus on negative influences. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3, please. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The negative influence here is Satan, and he is slick. Subtle. You know, they say some people, they're such good salesmen, they could sell snow to an Eskimo. Satan probably could. He's very subtle. And he influenced them. By the way, there's that something that's new in the last, you know, whatever, the new generation here, right? People, it's a job now. I am a social influencer. That means they have a big social media account. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to influence people towards something, right? They're trying to use their following to influence people to do something. Well, Satan may not be a social influencer, but he's a negative influencer. He's been doing it for a long time, long before there was Twitter and YouTube. I have found this. Most people who walk away from Christianity or those who are starting to develop a negative view towards things that are right have been influenced to do so. Used to be a youth director around here for years. I told the youth, now this is back before, you know, all the social media and technology or whatever. And I'm like, you know, the thing that you need to be careful with, and most of the times when they would start to get in trouble, it was because of somebody. There was somebody they were around that was influencing them negatively. And then as I kind of got away from working with teenagers and started working with adults, you know what I found out? Works for adults too. It does. They're just a bunch of kids in adult bodies. Now that influence can be peer-to-peer, but through other things, through social media, through technology, it is so much easier. Paul, to the church of Galatia, they loved Paul. And as soon as he left, they started going sideways. They started changing their doctrine, and they changed the way they felt about Paul. Paul wrote them and said, have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And then Paul said what the problem was. He said, who hath bewitched you? There's a couple verses in there where he uses who. Who is it? What happened is when Paul left, some people came into the church and started influencing them in a negative sense towards the things they had learned. And now they had a bad attitude towards Paul, which would go towards spirituality as well. Be very, very careful about the negative influences in our life. He says, hath God said, you know, negative people, they always ask frivolous questions. Well, is that really? Be very, very careful. Though you'll have a belief in the Bible, they'll say, well, will you go to hell if you do that? Right? What's wrong with that? They never ask what's right with it. But they'll just throw these little questions out. By the way, I've also found this when people ask frivolous questions. When you share the truth with them, they don't want to hear it. All of a sudden, they got to leave. They have no quest for the truth. And I'm not saying we should be mean-spirited to people. I'm not saying that. But we ought to know the truth. We question everything. And I'm not saying you blindly follow. Christianity is yes, it's faith, but can I just tell you something? God's given us enough in here to where it's easy to have faith. We ought to just stick right here instead of listening to some person. Well, you know, they're a Christian, and they said, I want to hear what the Bible says. And by the way, get a Christian friend who pushes you the right direction. I like that. Early in my Christian life, I got people that they push me in the right direction and do this, and you ought to read this and study this and do that. And so be careful. When people are frivolous, they're asking a question not because they want an answer. They want to be critical. Amen. And I just don't have time for that. Amen. They make untruthful statements. Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Notice how he kind of flips it. Why didn't he just ask the question? Did God say you can't eat out of that tree? Right there? Hey, God said you can't eat of every tree of the garden? You know what that is? That's an overstatement. God didn't say they couldn't eat any of the trees. Why? He lies. People will make, well, you know, you Christians, you can't blah, 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 blah. That's not what the Bible says. Be very, very, very careful. You have to understand something, and it's being played out also in our political realm, but it's being brought into our spiritual realm. People are just trying to shut you down. And by the way, I'm not saying I need to argue with people or do this or that, but I'm just going to be honest with you. If it's the truth, I'm going to hang with it. I'm not going to back away just because someone is trying to shut us down. You can't say that. Yeah, I can. It's going to come out. Believe the truth. They're okay with you believing the truth as long as it doesn't infringe upon their feelings or what they want. But yet, they can infringe upon what we believe. And so let's be very careful in our influences. Let's find influences that are positive and push us the right way. And I'm not saying if somebody doesn't understand Christianity and they're being negative, we need to be mean-spirited to them. No, but we can't let them influence us for wrong. Let's try to get the gospel to them and influence them for right. Also, number two, there was a focus with a negative perspective. We're going to see this. She now saw the commands of God as being negative. She didn't see the things that God told her to do or the things God told her not to do as being profitable. She saw them as being negative. Her perspective changed. Now, no command of God is negative. Let me just say that. It's negative in how we see it. Well, that's a thou shalt not. That's a negative. No, it's God saying, if you do that, you're going to hurt yourself. That's a positive to me, right? Well, God says you have to do that? Yeah, because if you do it, it's better for you. But our perspective starts to get completely skewed. There are negatives. The things that we would consider negatives keep us on the road to being positive. We start hearing phrases and things when we develop spiritual negativity. We see the things that God says and we say, those are restrictive. Yes, they are. They're restricting us from that which would be hurtful to us. Look, if we're parents, don't we give our kids parameters? Right? Don't play in the street. Don't cross the street without doing this. How come we give our kids those parameters? Because if they cross the street without looking, they could get hit by a car. I remember, Pastor Esposito would remember too, when we first moved to, we're here to Long Beach to start the church, we started out as Cambodian Baptist Church. And a lot of the refugees from Cambodia were moving into Long Beach, and these kids didn't quite understand things. And I remember several children getting hit by cars. They just would run the streets. They didn't know that you don't do that. Listen, to say be careful what you're doing is not restrictive. It's actually freeing you up to not get hurt. Well, they're legalistic. By the way, let me say this. If you're a Christian and someone takes something that you've learned in the Bible and says, no, that's legalistic, let me give you a code word. That means they really don't understand the scripture. Because legalism defined by the Bible is adding works to salvation. Okay, you understand that? Well, if I do this, God will take me to heaven. No. That's because of Jesus Christ. It's good. Well, that's not of grace. Grace helps us to see things from a right perspective. See, understand this. We talk about the grace of God, his forgiveness, and all of those wonderful things. But There's a balance, right? The truth of God.
Amen.
Do you know the Bible says in John chapter 1 that Jesus was full of grace and truth? In other words, grace and truth are not battling each other. They balance one another.
Amen.
Bible story. The woman caught in adultery. It was a setup. Because the law commanded that they bring the man along and he gets stoned too. So Jesus knew it was a setup. He says, fine. He followed the law. He said, the first one that's supposed to throw the rock is the one who saw it. He's like, okay, if you're without sin, go ahead. Start throwing stones. All of them, their conscience started bothering them because they knew they set this lady up. Could you imagine that? They, in order to get to Christ and have him fulfill the law, they were willing to set a lady up to break the law. Isn't that crazy? But anyhow, so Jesus looks up and they're all gone. What did he tell her? He goes, I don't condemn you either. Go have a good life. What was the second part of it? Go and sin no more. He said, you know what? I'm not going to condemn you, but you know what? Go forward and don't do that anymore. That's grace and truth. You're forgiven, but let's change the lifestyle. Those two go together. How do we see God's commands as negatives? We belittle the good. Look at verse 2. She shouldn't have been talking to the serpent, but anyhow. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but, verse 3, the first word, but. You didn't need that. You should have said, no, you're wrong. What do you mean we can't eat of all the fruit? We can eat the fruit. She quickly went through the good. She quickly bypassed the good and went straight to the bad. But, and we'll get to that in a minute. The good trees were plentiful. The forbidden tree was singular. Isn't that how we are? Come on now. You could give a kid 12, you name it, candies or toys and said, they're all yours except don't touch that one. Can I tell you which one they're going to touch?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because I'd go for that one. What do you mean, don't touch it? I tell my wife sometimes, I said, look, let me just tell, I'm a man. I'm not going to do anything you tell me to do. I'm joking. If she says take the trash out, I'm like, you told me to do it, so now I'm not going to do it, and I want to take it out. So she goes, okay, Steve, don't you dare take that trash out. I'm like, don't you tell me what to do. I'm taking that trash out right now. Now I'm messing around, okay? But that's how we are. Well, you know, we can't do this. You know what the big problem? She forgot something out of that little phrase. If you're there, flip to 2:16. If not, let me read it for you. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest, what's the word there? Freely eat. Have a good time, cowboy. No keto. No calories. Come on. You eat as much as you want. Man, I wish it was like that today, okay? Like, come on now. Not one piece of pizza. Not two pieces of pizza, two complete pizzas. Go for it, cowboy. All gonna be good. He said freely. Did you notice she left that out? She's starting to devalue the good. Because doing good frees you. It's the best thing you can do. There's no limits. There's no negative consequences in good. There's no regrets. There's no lingering problems. And as we saw last week, they did it. All of those things weren't true. The wrong tree comes with consequences, ones which bring us bondage. Freedom comes through obedience. John chapter 8, verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you
free.
But you know what he said two verses later? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Bondage comes from disobedience. She ripped the word freely out of there. Man, there's so much freedom in serving God. There's so much freedom. You know, I've said before, like, if someone lies, they have to have a good memory. You have to remember the truth and the lie. Come on now. You got to double up. But when you just tell the truth, it's like, you just tell the truth. You don't have to worry about any of that. You just do the right thing. There's no guilt. There's no, you know, did you do? No. So they belittle the good and they broaden the bad. Look at verse 3. But of the tree, fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it. Should have stopped right there, cowboy. Neither shall you touch it. God didn't say that. He said, don't eat it. Now, I'll give it to you. If you're not going to eat it, you probably shouldn't touch it. The worst thing, I'm on a diet. Look, don't hang around a pizza box. Not going to eat you. Until someone turns the other way. Come on, yes. You get away from it. But God didn't say that. You know. So they brought in the bad. Once we make the good look bad, then the bad looks good. Look at our advertising. I got to hustle. Our advertising is just off the charts. They're trying to sell. I mentioned one of them. I think it's some baby soap. They're trying to have you buy their baby soap by showing a little boy who's now wearing a dress. They tell you how their product is politically correct and woke. I don't care. It used to be, it's like, use our soap, it gets you clean. Drink our coffee, it has caffeine, okay? You know, eat our food, it's good. Unless it's McDonald's, they're lying, okay? Ronald is a liar, I don't care what you say. You know, but all that's, it's like, no, our advertisements are now talking about that which is apprehensible to God, abhorrent. Bible makes it clear we're to see things in a different light. Amos chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Verse 14, he says, seek the good and not evil, that ye may live. And in verse 15, he says, hate the good and love evil. Thirdly, we get a negative, we start developing negative spirituality when we focus on negative counsel. Now she's all messed up. She listened to the influence. She totally wrong in what God said. Now Satan comes in for the kill shot. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Lie. Spiritually, she died the second she ate it. Then it goes farther. For God doth know in the day that you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The negative influence has been there. Now it soured us and gave us a negative view of God's command. Now we're going to listen to the negative counsel. Satan says, boom, God, don't worry about it. So what happens? We buy the lie. Ye will not surely die. That's a lie. God says you're going to die. He said, the day that you eat it. Now, that was a spiritual death, by the way. That's why we need Jesus Christ and we need to be saved. But he lied. Don't listen. Proverbs chapter 1:10 says this, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You know what that means? Just say no. Now, I'm not going to sing the song, right? Just say no to drugs. Okay. Just say no. Don't consent. Don't give in. That's how it works. Lies come in many forms, but we're not to buy the lie. Then you believe, if you believe the lie, you believe it gives liberation. Then he says, then your eyes shall be opened. Because now they're not. You don't see life the way we see it. You Christians are so sheltered, you just don't see life. Oh, I see it. I don't want it.
Yeah. Amen.
I didn't grow up in church.
Yeah.
I grew up on the other side of the tracks. You can't pull the wool over my eyes, but just because you didn't grow up on the other side of the tracks, don't buy the lie.
Yeah.
I've seen it. There's nothing good about it. Well, your eyes shall be opened, and you will be, and ye shall be as gods, little g. What does that mean? You're not restricted in what you do. You're the God of your life. You can do whatever you want. Then he says, knowing good and evil. You're not restricted in how you think. In other words, you decide what's right and wrong, not God. Hey, Eve, why are you letting God decide where you eat? Right? You decide what you eat. Why? Because we think that it'll liberate us. It doesn't bring liberation. It brings incarceration. We already saw that. Understand, any counsel that someone gives you that pushes you away from spirituality is not right. And by the way, let me say this. If a person doesn't know the Lord or they're not spiritual, they may try to give you advice and they have They may have good intentions and all that stuff. I get it. And we're not going to be rude, but I'm not going to listen to someone just because they have good intentions. I personally want to filter everything through what the Bible says. If it passes the Bible test, I'm in. And by the way, I listen to people all the time. I get counsel from people all the time. My wife tells me everything I have to do. There's things I face here, and I have pastor friends. And hey, you know, what do you think about? I don't know everything. But look, I'm not going to get counsel from someone that doesn't know God. Well, you should do this. I had a guy come in one time, and I'm like, what's going on? He was in my Sunday school class probably 25 years ago. And he's like, you know, I just moved out of the house. My wife and I are going to separate for a while. I'm like, why? He goes, you know, my brother said that they did that and it helped their marriage. It's like, what do you think? I think you're a knucklehead. And I knew the guy. I mean, I'm like, you need to go home and go home right now. He goes, okay. I mean, someone said, hey, you want to have a good marriage? Move out. Wait a minute. Let me think about that one. Good work. I mean, come on. Let's be careful. Let's hear what the Bible says.
Amen.
And then lastly, and we're done. We get to the last end. And the reason we give in is because now we start to focus on negative cravings. Look at verse 6. So everything is said. She's went through the process. And now she's going to stop. She's going to look at the tree. Not the tree God said you can eat from, right? She's going to look at the one. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Think about that. Well, I have to eat. I mean, after all, food is a necessity. I know. And there's like 27,000 other trees. Right? You know what happens? We get to looking at things that are wrong, and we talk ourselves into thinking, that's just natural. I have to have that anyhow. We get messed up. God already provided for their necessities. And when we're not thinking spiritually and we start to have a negative attitude, we see things as a necessities that really, really, really aren't a necessity. You know what? The sad thing about her is because she got so messed up, she started making decisions based solely on her own senses. Can I just tell you something? You and I are not smart enough or wise enough to make those decisions because we're flawed individuals. We don't see everything.
No.
Wouldn't I rather trust God that sees everything? To say, well, wait a minute. I think that this is, and it looks good to me. I think I'll do it. It's a necessity. No. She thought it was a necessity. It was pleasant to the eyes. Oh, it looked great too. Right? Why is it the worst food for you always looks the best? Look, I don't care what you do. You cannot make a salad look good. Asparagus. You know what it looks like? A stick. Come on, I eat it. I get the grandkids to eat broccoli. I'm like, come on, man. You know what I tell them? Hey, it's a little baby tree. It's like, that stuff doesn't look good. It can't compare with a Chicago-style hot dog. It can't compare with whatever nonsense they're trying to poison us with out here after church. It's just, it's how we are. The bad stuff to us kind of looks bad sometimes. That's why we must be careful, by the way, what we allow ourselves to see. By the way, you're watching a bunch of junk on television, they're going to make sin look good. They don't show you the fallout. Well, this guy's sneaking around and doing this, ha-ha. They don't show the destruction of the family. And so let's be very careful. And then she looked at it and she's like, in a tree to be desired, I want this. By the way, it's a really bad way to make a decision because I want it. Because we want things that aren't right. I'll put both hands up on that one.
Yeah.
My flesh says, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, no, that's not right. Someone treats you mean, right? What do you want to do? Yeah. I'll show you, cowboy. Okay. Is that Christian? Does it make you feel better? Oh, yeah. Don't do it. But we want what we want. I desire it. This is just what I want. That's the God syndrome. Satan's doctrine is you do what you want. You decide what's right and right and wrong. Nobody else does it for you. And then here it is, control. to make one wise. Now, wait a minute. You understand what she's saying here? Before I eat from this tree, God's holding out on me. I can't be wise. I have to eat the wrong tree to be wise. Listen, we stand at the feet of people who are godless and tell us all kinds of nonsense, and we don't listen to what God says. That's not wise. Well, you know, I just want to trust the experts. Oh, you mean the experts that can't figure out what a man or a woman is? It's not a social construct. That's ridiculous. Oh, that didn't go over very well. What are you listening to? Look, a baby's born, they don't look at it and say, how can we construct this? It's a boy or a girl. Get the right color cigar. Candy cigar. And listen, you know why they've been duped? Well, we know more than God. I don't know. God said he created them. Mm-hmm. You ask the average person how many genders are, and they'll swallow their tongue. And I'm going to tell you something right now. 90% of them know there's only two. They're afraid to say it. Well, I identify. Well, you know what I identify as? Rich. I was going to say I identify as handsome, but I'm already there. Come on. What are my pronouns? I don't do pronouns. I do adjectives. Wonderful. Let's go, you know. But when we think that we can be wise outside of God, we're not really wise. We're teaching that in Proverbs. I hope I didn't. I'm not trying to offend anybody. We got to think this thing through because we buy a lie. So what happened to Eve? How come Adam and Eve had everything perfect? I mean, we talk about like, I want to spend time with God. I'm going to pray and I'm going to read my Bible. Man, they spent time with God right there. Daily devotions with God speaking to them in the garden. They had everything they wanted. And yet Satan was able to mess them up and they developed a negative attitude towards the things that are right. And that happens to people as well. Be very careful about that. You know, I just have a feeling if we just stick with the Bible, we just try to follow what's right, we'll be okay. And that doesn't mean sometimes we don't have questions about things, but we figure it out from God's perspective. We try to say, God, what is this? Help me get this. Let's not be duped, because last week we saw the end of the story. It didn't turn out well. But there was a process that got them to that point. And if we can bypass the negative process, we'll be all right. We'll be all right. Let's bow and close our eyes if we may for a minute. If we could just bow our head and close our eyes. How's it going for you today? Really, the kind of thing I'm talking about today usually happens to someone who has been a Christian for a while. They've been going to church. They've been serving God. And then something happens, like the Galatian church. Somebody or something starts to get that negative influence, and they start to question everything that's right. And instead of taking those questions and going to the Bible to get the answers, they go to people. They go to people. They go to their own thoughts. They go to what they think is best. And I'm not saying we don't think, but I want to think, I want to make my thoughts line up with God's word. That's what I want. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His ways are higher than my ways. So if I really want to know them, I got to know what he says. Maybe you're here this morning, and let me say this. You can't even have a spiritual mindset unless you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. I talk about Easter Sunday because that's when I became a Christian. I heard this question in the service, and here it is. Are you 100% for sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven, or do you have any doubt? And as I sat in my seat, I had doubt. I knew I wasn't a Christian. I couldn't have given you a reason why I would go to heaven. Maybe that's you this morning. With nobody looking around, if you say, you know, Pastor, that is me. I am not sure that if I were to die, I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. Pastor, would you pray with me about that? If you just lift your hand real quick, I'll see it, acknowledge you, and I'll pray for you. Anybody like that at all? Anybody at all? May we stand together. The piano's going to play. If God has spoke to you this morning, why don't you come? Maybe there's some things in your life you're not understanding about the Lord, and you can develop that negative mindset. You're not going to him to figure it out. Let's come get that right this morning.